6 o'clock, the Columbia Citizens Police Review Board will come to order. We'll start off here with the roll call, is that right? In attendance, so will you call that for me?
Okay, Rhonda Carlson?
Present.
Xavier Scruggs?
Present.
Doug Hunt?
Present.
Brandon Barnes?
Present.
Reese Ellis?
Present.
Stephen Jeffrey?
Present.
And Jamie Thornsberry?
Present.
And we have two excused absences.
Okay, let's start off this meeting with some introductions. I will go first, and then we'll start over there, and we'll work our way back around. My name is Reese Ellis. I am the newly elected chair of the Citizens Police Review Board, and I live here in Columbia, 3rd Ward, north of town.
Going down there or just me?
We'll go all the way down there. Well, Sergeant Ray.
Sergeant Julie Ray, Columbia Police Department. I'm the liaison.
Rhonda Carlson, former chair, 5th Ward. Live here in Columbia.
I might have put folks on the spot with the ward.
Yeah, I can't remember what ward I'm in. But I do vote, but I can't think of the ward that I'm in. I'm Xavier Scruggs.
And I'm Doug Hunt. I'm 4th Ward.
Brandon Barnes, 5th Ward.
Stephen Jeffrey, 6th Ward.
Jamie Thornsberry, 5th Ward.
Rose Wibbenmeyer, Law Department. I'm the staff liaison. Have a special guest.
And we have a special guest.
DeAndre.
Good evening, everyone. My name is DeAndre Thompson. I'm the inaugural Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer with the City of Columbia in the City Manager's Office. Definitely glad to be here and be of resource to the Citizens Police Review Board. I've had several conversations with Rose, just wanting to introduce myself to you all. Some of you all I've seen in the community in other capacities in previous roles that I had with the county government. But definitely look forward to working with you all. I know there's a few things that you all have on your or in your view, one of them being the use of force policy. I know that that's something that has been discussed over some time. And I have done some research to begin to look at that exclusively, but definitely welcome working with you all to kind of evaluate that process to see how I can be of service there. I know that there's other things that you all will probably want assistance or a recommendation in terms of how to approach this process with the Citizens Police Review Board, but feel free to let me know if you have any questions or reach out to Rose, and she can definitely get in contact with me as well. But I welcome you all to the board, and thank you all for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good to meet you.
Thanks for coming.
Next, we will move to approval of the agenda. Do I need a motion on that?
I actually have a motion to amend the agenda. To include under new business a discussion of recommendations related to service of notice in our rules and regulations.
Any discussion?
Second?
There's a second.
Second.
Okay. Then seeing no discussion on that, I'm fine adding that to the agenda. Do we need to take a vote on that, or is there any dissenting voice in that?
I would move we approve the agenda as amended.
I second that.
Carlson.
It can just be voice vote.
Okay. Those in favor of approving the agenda as amended, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. So now we will move to the approval of the minutes. You all should have gotten the draft. It's attached if you're on your computers, but some of you may have printed it out. Is there any discussion on that? I would entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Same item in the mail. You should have received your closed meeting minutes. I got mine a couple of weeks ago, or rather, I checked the mail a couple of weeks ago. But you should have had a chance to review them and you know, make any notes or comments to Rose or Samantha. If there are none, I would entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? And that is passed. So with that, we will move on into old business. And the first item on that is the audits. I'm going to read this here. The board's duties as set forth in City Code Section 2149 include conducting audits or reviews of the records of the police department for compliance with Chapter 21, Article 3 requirements. The board has begun its audits of the 2022 complaints with a focus on complaints involving allegations related to search and seizure, use of force, and discourtesy. Due to state law, the board is limited in what information it can provide on these audits. Board members will report on the number of audits completed. And we do have a couple of working groups if anyone would like to update where they've gone in the last month since we've been together in terms of looking at cases.
I don't think we had some audits that we were going to do, but we were not able to meet at the same time.
Oh, yeah, no, that's right. Yeah. But there was, that's right. There, so we didn't come to a consensus and we didn't vote on it. Yeah. Okay. If there are no more updates on those audits.
Not here for hers.
Yeah, Cheryl's not here. Okay, well, we will move on from that item then. Okay. The review of police policy 300 and 447, as has been said in previous meetings, this is going to be a continuing agenda item in the new business. There is an item on the special meeting on these police policies, and so I might save any kind of comments I have for that part of the agenda, but if there are discussion points on that. Seeing none, we will move into new business then. So, Rose, do you want to start on Senate Bill 189, or would you like me to? Okay, so we all should have gotten some emails from Rose over the last couple of weeks. Our state legislature has been busy passing laws and signing bills into law and vetoing bills in some circumstances. And so to make everyone in the audience kind of aware of what we've been following, there was a piece of legislation that was proposed by our legislature, Senate Bill 189, but it's really a bunch of bills that have been combined together, more of an omnibus bill. It's really Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 189 and 36 and 37, but all the same, it's a big crime bill that has a lot of different provisions in it, relating to Blair's law, relating to Max's law, increasing penalties for repeat violent offenders. But additionally, an item that was added into that omnibus bill was legislation that would have affected the way that civilian police review boards like ourselves operate by changing language that reads, one moment. So I'll read the text in full, and then I'll note what the changes are so that you're able to follow along. But the changes, the text says, each city, county, and city not within a county may establish a civilian review board. Division of civilian oversight or any other entity which provides civilian review or oversight of police agencies. That's a change, but that's perhaps more semantic. Or may use an existing civilian review board or division of civilian oversight or other named entity. That's also a change, perhaps more semantic, which has been appointed by the local governing body with the authority to investigate allegations of misconduct by local law enforcement officers towards members of the public. The members shall not receive compensation, but shall receive reimbursement from the local governing body for all reasonable and necessary expenses. The major changes that happen in this bill happen in part two, where it reads, the board, division, or any such entity shall have the power, and then it is changed to solely limited to receiving, investigating, making findings, and recommending disciplinary action upon complaints by members of the public against members of the police department that allege misconduct involving excessive use of force, abuse of authority, discourtesy, or use of offensive language, including but not limited to slurs relating to race, ethnicity, religion, gender, sexual orientation, and disability. The findings and recommendations of the board, division, or entity, and the basis thereof shall be submitted to the chief law enforcement official. No finding or recommendation shall be based solely upon an unsworn complaint or statement, nor shall prior unsubstantiated, unfounded, or withdrawn complaints be the basis for any such findings or recommendations. And then the final change that affects us is, or would affect us if signed into law, only the powers specifically granted herein are authorized, and any and all authority granted to future or existing boards, divisions, or entities outside the scope of the powers listed herein are expressly preempted and void as a matter of law. And so that was the proposed language. It developed in a lot of different ways. It started off as, of course, one bill. It changed into another. And for a while, it seemed fairly likely that it would be signed into law, and controversially, it passed with well over, 151 votes to 3 in the House and 32 to 2 in the Senate. However, the governor did veto this bill for reasons not related to police oversight, for reasons related to, in his explanation, he believed that there were loopholes in language that would allow individuals convicted of sexual exploitation of minors before 2004 to be eligible for expungement. He also believed that the same section made too many offenses eligible for expungement, as well as some commentary that the governor had on who should be responsible for restitution, the people who are exonerated based on DNA evidence. So that bill was vetoed. The legislature will come back in the veto session on September 13th. That's a Wednesday. And it's unclear what'll happen from there. Historically speaking, you have not had the legislature agree to override a bill since 2016, when the party of the governor was different from the legislature. Currently, they are the same, and there have been efforts to override this governor that have been unsuccessful throughout the last several years. So who can say? But it's something that we're following, and something that I'm going to be in communication to about our Boone County legislative delegation to see what they think is the legislative forecast for this bill. And is there some discussion on that? Well, I might have missed anything. Is there anything I might have missed in that?
The only thing I would add, and you've done a much deeper read than I have, there was one fairly general statement from the governor with the veto about his seeing unintended consequences in the bill. That's a pretty broad language, and whether those unintended consequences included things like citizen oversight, I just don't honestly know. But Reese, you may have more detailed information than I have. So
I consider that a
possible glimmer of light there. So I just wanted to say that.
So, if the bill is signed into law, there will be some conversations, of course, over that time about what role the board does have. I think that there was some concern. I know Rose and I, we had some conversations about possible limitations in our ability, but as the time being, until veto session happens, the board will be able to operate as it has. And so that is the update I have on that. any notes, any discussion on that other than Doug? All right.
Sounds good.
Moving on to other new business. We have gotten together and tried to find a date for that special meeting on police policies. I think we've got something tentative.
We have a tentative date of August 14th, where 6 members can attend, and then a date of September 14th, when 8 members can attend.
So I'll start off with it, because I think it would be good to pick a date today if we can. I am not going to be available in August. I'm going to actually be in our nation's capital during that date. So I could do September. I don't know if there are any strong feelings about August versus September. Of course, September is later than I would like. I'd like to do this earlier if possible, but those are the dates that we have, it seems, August and September. So.
I think with August, sooner would be better, but I think mid-August is when everybody's coming back to school and it's pretty hectic time, though I think sooner would be nice. I think people are settled in and we might get more input if we waited until September, only because there's more people here and available. That would be my only input regarding that, because I think a lot of people are getting set to go back to school or getting moved in, because that August 15th is the kind of cutoff date for all the move-ins.
We need a motion?
I think I would entertain a motion on a
motion to meet on September 14th.
Is there a second?
Second.
I would second, yeah.
Let me catch up, please.
That gives us ample time also to get the word out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And who seconded? I heard a bunch of voices.
Of them.
Yeah. Rhonda and I seconded, and I think Steve may have.
Second, third, and fourth, and fifth. So I think it was a unanimous.
Seconds.
So just, okay. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, and we'll have a voice vote on this. So all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, September 14th it is.
And then would we have Mr. Thompson possibly weigh in with some information at that time as well? Since he's going to be making some suggestions as well?
Yeah, that would depend on his availability.
Maybe have some suggestions for us in writing.
Or just, yeah.
We will certainly be in contact with him.
That's ample time for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, moving on in the agenda. The hiring process for the new police chief.
Before you move on, do you want me to put this on next month's agenda to kind of sort out the details that you want, or do you want to sort out more details tonight, or?
It can be an and, kind of, because we are missing a couple of people who might have
okay,
some.
So you know, next time, yeah. Old business. Yeah. Thank you.
Moving on to the next part of our agenda, hiring process for the new police chief. I know, I believe we, Doug, were you able to? Okay.
Yeah.
What were your general impressions from this meeting? I was not able to attend.
This is a Saturday meeting, is that right?
This was the meeting today from 11, oh, well, beginning at 11:30 or 11 through virtual.
Scheduled for 11 to 12:30, began promptly at 11. The consultant who will be working with the city on the hiring, and I, Rose, correct me if I got the name wrong, it's Kenton Bruckner, as I recall, yeah. We talked for a good hour. He came with five questions. He'd clearly been sort of commissioned to ask five questions and to get responses to those five questions about priorities. I believe they were probably the same. I would gather from the general nature of the questions that they were likely ones that he raised at the Saturday meeting as well. So if any wasn't at the Saturday meeting, they'll probably recognize those questions. I would describe the discussion as fairly thoroughgoing in that he did not, when I wanted to bring some things up that I was concerned about, he was quite willing to respond to that. We were working within the framework of the questions that he had come with. So for instance, the first one was, what qualities are you looking for in hiring a new chief? I was in a position where I could express my own opinion but could not speak on behalf of the board. And I know, Reese, you had suggested that we might want to have a written set of the board's concerns actually advanced so that it can be taken into consideration during the hiring process. And I think it would be a good idea. The consultant was an experienced former chief at more than one place. He seemed to be, quite willing to listen. But I had a feeling that we were having a discussion that was sort of confined to the questions that he was supposed to be asking at this point. And it may be that the board has things that they would like to communicate that go beyond the scope of those questions. So, I don't think we should think that that's the end of the discussion with regard to our input.
As someone who didn't attend, my general impression and the only feeling that I've really had about this process so far as it's begun to develop is that I hope that the city will follow kind of the path that St. Louis did during their police chief selection process, where eventually when finalists were selected, that there was an in-person community forum that was a little more accessible than 11 on a Thursday afternoon, and televise the mayor, the director of public safety, so on and so forth. So that would be my hope. I'm encouraged the city is looking for public input in this process, but I hope that continues in a more expansive and more inclusive way that brings more people into the process.
Right.
Are there any other discussion on that?
I would only add, because I think there's some people sitting out there who probably were at the Saturday meeting, and they may have some feedback they want to give us about experience in that meeting, too. So,
Reese, I also want to say something, too. If the board can consider when we want to meet with the interim chief, I think it says in our bylaws that we meet with the interim or the police chief semi-annually, and so I think we should at least consider a date to do that in like the next few months, since the interim chief has been chosen.
I agree with you, and we will put that on the. Can we put that on the agenda for?
I have already. Oh. As soon as it was announced, I sent an email. I have not yet heard back from him, but I have extended August, September, and October as possible dates.
Thank you. Thank you. Other discussion? Rhonda, do you?
I also know I've heard from a couple people. I think the survey questions they're asking are basically the same, and I know through Ready as well as the chamber, because it was pretty, I thought it was kind of short notice on a lot of that.
Yeah.
And also, I was a little disappointed it was the week of 4th of July that a lot of this was held, so you're not going to get a lot of attendance. But if you don't have access to the survey, and through the Board of Realtors, I know we're encouraging our members to fill out the surveys, because that's the best way to get the input if the questions are the same. And I'll forward it to you, Rose. I'm sure you have that. I was unable to attend because it was right in the middle of the Ready meeting. So I don't have any idea what that was, but from what I heard from the chamber was that it was a lot of check the box questions. So I think if you want to have additional input, there's probably an area in there in which to fill out your personal thoughts. But I encourage anybody to have as many people as you can fill out that survey.
Final comments on that agenda point? Moving on, regular meeting room arrangements. This was brought up last meeting. We had a bit of a discussion during public comment about exploring using other venues, and I see that you've left some notes on that, Rose, on what our capabilities are if we were to move from the council chambers to 1A and 1B.
Right, so special meetings are different than regular meetings, but council has determined that in the past that regular meetings shall be broadcast. So if you want to move out of this room, and that would require a motion and a vote and to send a report to council to request that the meetings not be televised.
Which request I would be very reluctant to make. It seems these meetings need to be televised.
Yeah.
So let's,
And
room for overflows, right? When this room does get full, there is an overflow area where people can
Yes.
fill.
So if something were to happen and there, and this has happened in the past where this room becomes standing room only and the lobby fills, they can broadcast on the TVs in the lobby. And then if the other conference rooms 1A and B are open, they can also broadcast in there. And so that gives a lot of overflow potential.
But say we were to, you know, make this request, there still would be an option for audio, but no video, and it wouldn't be televised.
In 1A and 1B?
1A and 1B.
That is correct. It would not be televised.
Okay. I have a lot of feelings about this because, you know, this isn't something that we necessarily have to decide today. I do have a feeling that it probably would be better in the long term to kind of democratize the discussion that happens. And we did, you know, it is a little better and I think a little less intimidating if we are not on the dais. However, I'd have to imagine there's a public interest in having these meetings televised. I'm gonna have to weigh that, but I'd be curious if there are thoughts on this board and in the public on that. But my initial thought is I would probably rather have it televised as opposed to get everyone out of this room and into something a little less intimidating. But that's my own thoughts.
And we're gaining ground if we do special meetings in another venue too, in terms of the sort of interaction that you're talking about, Reese. So, like maybe we stay in here for the televised purposes.
I may have missed it, but what were the pros of
moving to the other room? So some people feel pretty strongly that us being on the dais is inappropriate because, you know, this is where the city council sits. There's also some feelings of, you know, if you are not a social butterfly or an extroverted person, it's a little intimidating to come up there and speak to all of us up here. But if we're all at card tables, we're all at the same level, you know, it might be a little easier to get some real dialogue going. And last meeting, we did have more extended, you know, discussion where there was comment, return, back and forth, and that, you know, maybe produced some, more robust discussion on the issues that we were talking about that day. And so I think those are the pros, and then, you know, obviously the cons is not going to be televised. Are there other thoughts? This can be a conversation that we continue, but again, I'd also be curious to hear from the public if there are any thoughts on this, not just tonight, but in the future, because this isn't something that we could just do in one meeting. Of course, as Rose said, we'd have to write a motion and then.
Is there some sort of like public survey we could do to see the opinion?
Huh? Rose, when did they? Because I know they weren't always televised. And then the board themselves, I think, requested they be televised.
But it started out, and when the board was formed, a council person asked that the meetings be televised. So the initial board meetings were televised, the regular meetings were televised. Then at some point, I'd have to go back and see when, the board felt that it was intimidating to people to come in, because back then, state law was not as strict. So back then, we had made the processes as transparent as we possibly could, which meant the appeals were done here, televised. So the board at that time felt that because these appeals were televised, that some people didn't feel comfortable coming and making statements, they didn't feel comfortable filing an appeal. So though that was basically kind of why they asked that the meetings not be televised. So then the council agreed and they said, okay, we're not going to televise review board meetings. And then sometime in the future again, I mean in the past, but some period of time elapsed.
Sure, at one point.
And yeah. The then current board decided they thought it should be televised again. So they then sent a report to council And council said, sure, let's televise it again, and now you're televised again.
Has there ever been a time where they didn't do it in the chamber?
I believe when they went to the point where they were not televised, we did have some meetings in 1A and 1B, and there have been special meetings that have been at other venues as well, including those not in City Hall.
What's the capacity like there compared to here?
Well, and that's one of the problems with 1A and 1B is the capacity is much less, but also they tend to be booked a lot. So, you know, if you decided you wanted to do that and council agreed, we'd have to see what rooms we could get for what nights you wanted to meet. So it might be a shifting of what night you met to have those rooms, or, you know, like right now, the capacity of the audience right now could easily fit in probably 1A or 1B, but you never know how many people are going to show up. So, you know, I think event staff kind of gave us good information, and you can think about that. And if at any point you want to make a motion to send a report to council to change that, I mean, that's really at this point in time where the issue is televising versus not televising. If in the future, you know, something changes and the equipment changes in there, well, then we can have another discussion, but I
don't foresee that
happening anytime soon, because like there's a whole production suite back there that makes all the magic happen to make it be televised.
Any other questions or discussion on this? I think we're going to, I haven't looked at all the pros and cons that was sent by the event staff, I'll be honest with you, but I am going to, I still have the same feelings that I had, even with all that context. That's the way that goes sometimes. Moving on to the next agenda item, items for next month's agenda.
Actually, Rosa, you've got a better sense of order. It seems like it would be better to consider this quite some notice before going on to items for next month's agenda, don't you?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I believe we had amended the agenda for recommendations related to service of notices.
I'm looking at an old agenda.
Yes,
my apologies.
So I will not give a lot of context. The context might come up in discussion, but several board members have been concerned about the length of time that people have to receive notice of a finding that the police have after a complaint and respond to it. And so all these are related to that. And I think what I'm going to do, if it makes sense to the board, is introduce these one at a time as separate motions. In a way, they function as a suite, but I think it'll just be easier to deal with if we deal one at a time. So I'll read out number one, and we can discuss it as needed. So the first of the motions, given lengthened mail delivery times through the U.S. Postal Service, the board recommends amending Item 5 of Article 3, Section 21-45, to read as follows, quote, notice shall be considered given when it is hand-delivered or 5 business days after it is mailed. The change there is that previously it had read 3 business days after it is mailed. So that's the motion. We'll wait and see if there's a second, and maybe I can do some explanation of what's going on there.
Is there a second?
Second.
Straightforwardly, the U.S. Postal Service, because of less staffing and fewer stations, used to announce that first-class mail was delivered in 1 to 3 days. It now says 1 to 5 days. So to not take that into account in the process of saying when we expect someone to have received notice seems unfair to the people who are receiving notice. So that's the reason for that first change. A very straightforward thing, I think.
But does it also mention the hand delivery part? Is that's part of
how
it is now?
Well, and in a way we're keeping exactly the same wording. Notice shall be considered given when it is hand delivered or 5 days after,
as opposed to the 3.
Right, as opposed to 3. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I think that's makes a lot of sense. I mean, if the Postal Service has updated their time standards, it, you know, it really wouldn't make sense for us to be operating off of the old timetable. But is there other discussion? Okay. Will this need to be a roll call vote?
Let's just try it voice and see how we go. And then if I don't know, then we can do roll call.
All right. Those in favor of approving the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Second motion. Given that mail delivery to persons in facilities such as jails or hospitals may be delayed by institutional practices, the board recommends that the police department adopt policies or procedures to ensure timely delivery of time-sensitive materials to persons in such facilities.
Do we have a second on this motion?
Are we just making a recommendation to the police
department? We are making, as I understand it, we are making an official recommendation to the police department about a change in policy or procedure we would like to have made.
With the wording that he has, then it would be up to them to figure out
exactly how to do it. Right. It's not proposing, with the exception of this, the first one actually had the wording.
Right.
This says you figure out what the, how to do that, but this is what the we want to have done. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. I'd second that.
Sorry.
Maybe we should get a second before, if anybody's willing to second before we give it. Oh, there was a second? Okay, yeah. Rose, did you have an example on the tip of your tongue that you wanted to give?
Yeah. So an example of a policy that we used to follow or procedure we would follow at the public defender's office back years ago when I was public defender. If we had a time-sensitive thing that we had a client who was incarcerated or in a state hospital needed to sign, we would call the facility and then we would fax or email it to a representative there who would then go and serve the notice, get the signature, whatever they needed, and fax or email it back. Because then you know it's personal service, just not personal service by city staff. It's personal service by jail staff or mental health staff or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing I would say, just to clarify the problem, if you are in a jail or a hospital, yes, it gets delivered to the facility. But if somebody has to read that before it can be delivered to you, inspect it before they get it delivered to you, does that add another day to delivery? Does it add another 2 days? You know, we don't know what the internal process is going to do to delaying delivery of notice. And these sort of suggestions that Rose is talking about, we would be able to ensure that people are not disadvantaged by being in that situation. So.
Any other discussion on this? It makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. I think that it should be generally easier for people to be able to make these appeals and have them processed. So I think I know how I'll be voting, but we will need to have a vote. And so those in favor of approving this motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries.
And then the third item in the suite, so to speak, is because some persons filing complaints with the police department may foresee difficulties in receiving mailed responses, the board recommends that the department allow complainants to request that responses be sent to more than one physical and or electronic address.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Just the briefest of explanations there. If we imagine someone, for instance, who has no fixed address, is depending on a mail delivery through Turning Point or some other sort of facility, but they know that if it's sent to a spouse, a parent, a something like that, makes the delivery more likely, then this would allow it to go both to the address that the person ordinarily receives mail at and to another address or to another email address, so that it greatly increases the chances of somebody getting it. And then just straightforwardly, somebody may realize that they are, for some reason, going to have to be out of town during a period when they might be getting this notice. And to allow them to specify on the idea would be to have on the complaint form, they can provide more than one way to be contacted on the response.
Are electronic responses allowed?
Well, Well, they're supposed to serve notice, but they could do both mailing and electronic. And we could also, based on this recommendation, if that's something the city wants to do, the city could even look at amending the ordinance to address that. Right now, this is directed at policies or procedures. And to give an example, in addition to the examples Doug gave, the Human Rights Commission, their complaint form has the complainant list their contact information and then someone else who can contact them if we're unable to get a hold of them. So it already, you know, has that in that context.
I mean, this makes a lot of sense, especially for an unhoused community. There's so many other documents that you'll always have, who's your emergency contact, something like that. And so this, to me, means that these people aren't falling through the cracks.
There other discussion? All right, we will have another voice vote on this. Those in favor of the motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? And the motion passes. So that will now bring us to, excuse my rush, to items for next month's agenda.
So far, I have the event planning for the special meeting and the policies. Is there anything else anyone, should I continue to have the audits on there as well?
Yes, yes. Well, if there are not.
I would say, Doug mentioned writing a recommendation or something on the on what is needed for the new police chief. So I don't know if that needs to be a discussion item for next meeting that we can kind of start researching on our own to bring some ideas or thoughts to the table.
That's an excellent point. I don't know what the timeline things are moving on.
I don't know.
They will pick the chief. Rose, am I incorrect on this, that the chief's going to be selected by the beginning of next month? Is that not what I saw?
I did forward you the survey.
Is it on that? Oh, you mean to forward out to everyone? Let me look. I know they have a Be Heard.
Be Heard one too.
Web page on.
Maybe Facebook or something. I don't know.
The Sergeant Rain, do you know?
I don't know.
Well.
So if you,
I think it would be great to, you know, we could put it on next month's agenda so that should we have time, if we can use that time, we can get ourselves together and really do it. And then I think with the mental reservation that if it turns out we got to respond within a week, we got to find a way to respond within a week,
So there is a Be Heard webpage where it has the survey link. And then it also has how to email the human resources director. And then there are key dates on the side, but those key dates are through today. That's all I really know.
Well, I'd like to add it to the agenda, and then we can always amend the agenda when we get new information. Other items? Folks would like to add? Yes, no, maybe so. Okay. Well, in that case, we will move on to reports, positive connections, and ride-alongs. We'll start off with that. Are there any positive connections?
No. Okay. I'll only note that I had a ride-along scheduled this afternoon at, or from 10 to noon today, and had to cancel it. But I'm booked for one in August, so. I'm getting there eventually.
Sounds like you're going to a Marriott. I booked the one in August.
Right. We will skip over the Human Rights Commission update because Cheryl is not with us here today. The Outreach Subcommittee has not been reorganized.
There was no meeting tonight because of quorum.
Well, in that case, that will bring us to general comments by the public and staff. So Pursuant to Article 4, Section 5 of the bylaws of the Citizens Police Review Board, the time for public comment shall be limited to 3 minutes for individuals and 5 minutes for individuals who are representing a group or organization. And anyone want to volunteer to keep time? Or do you? Mm-hmm. Wow. Don't let me do your job. Thank
correct.
You. Okay.
Yeah. That's what I'm good for.
And so we'll begin that. If there are any comments from the public, members or staff.
Susan Renee Carter on behalf of Race Matters Friends, but I won't need 5 minutes, I don't think. So first of all, I wanted to bring up to all of you that when we're talking about legislation like SB 189 and SB 26 is that, from my understanding, is the city has lobbyists that could be helping you lobby against certain things or for certain things. And I think it's very important for you to access that assistance and to ask the council for help when there are laws that are going to limit local control, because that's what's going to happen, is that the state legislature is going to take out of your control what kind of a citizens review board you have if they implement the pieces from SB 189. And so it's very important for us to all know how to access our advocates. Also, if you let advocates in the community know that your local control is going to be taken away, I'm sure that we can get together people who can go and talk to legislative representatives in the House and the Senate. This would be in the Senate. We could go up there, because I know that you have to be careful not doing that, but we can do that. And so my recommendation is that letting people know when bills are coming up, and Reese has done a really good job of that, and I appreciate that you read in depthly about that bill, because it does affect you. And it greatly limits, you know, how you design your city when the state's taking over local control. And states don't want the federal government taking over their state control. We don't want them taking over our city control. So that's a suggestion I have, is to make sure you ask for someone to advocate for you, because I don't see people doing that at the city level. Anyway, that's just a suggestion. And then just to let you know, there was a special meeting this evening from 5 to 6:30, which I caught 45 minutes of, for the police chief search, which asked the same questions that Doug heard today. And he is correct. They were kind enough to listen when we kind of expanded and pushed the limits of what it was the question was, but they were very specifically trying to control the narrative of the conversation. So hopefully the information we gave them, you know, we pushed about, you know, if the police chief needs to know about PERF, he needs to be willing to follow those standards, not just in theory, but in practice, that we need someone that wants to divert people who, you know, their crime is homelessness, mental illness, substance use, or lack of resources for one reason or another. He needs to have experience in diverting people away from incarceration in the court systems, because from meeting with a prosecuting attorney, a lot of people end up in the court that they really can't help. They can put someone in jail for housing, right? But that's not a good use of taxpayer money, and it's not a good place for people to live. Same way with people with mental health or substance abuse, or just not having enough money to pay for their insurance or their tags or whatever it is, right? And so that police chief needs to understand that system and advocate for a system like that. Anyway, we gave other input, but I'm running out of time. But thank you for attending. And my suggestion is that all of you give input about what the next police chief is going to be, because someone who comes in and tells you that if you don't like the police, that you shouldn't be on this board, you don't want that kind of a police chief that has that kind of power. So that person needs to know the limit of their power within the system. Thank you very much. I appreciate all the hard work you're putting into making changes and keeping track of legislation. It'll pay off. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chris Jones, Second Ward. I'm speaking on behalf of Hold Como Accountable, but again, I probably won't use the 5 minutes. I also attended the same meeting that Renee was able to attend. I was able to get through all but about 5 minutes of it in order to come in here. I also am going to suggest that all of you suggest or put in your recommendations, and please, please encourage any marginalized groups that you may know, any marginalized people that you may know, please reach out to them and ask them, because Be Heard Columbia, I know that Dr. Carlin keeps on promoting this and the city council keeps on promoting this, but not everybody in Columbia has access to the internet. Not everybody in Columbia has access to an electronic device, and it's not easy to do. I know that a lot of people, whenever I've helped people at my work do stuff like this, they're very confused by it. And, you know, I've met people much younger than me that have never touched a computer before. And I would have never thought that, but I've met several people like that. And so we want to make sure that everybody's voice does get heard, not just the rich people, not just the business owners, not just the university, because right now in Columbia, those are the people whose voices are heard, and basically nobody else's. We need everybody's voice to be heard. We need people's voice who are poor. We need people who are parts of minority groups. We need people who are on the LGBTQ spectrum. We need people who have disabilities to be heard, because our police department has enacted policies that have harmed each and every single one of those groups. And we need that not to happen. And we need our next police chief not to be harming these groups. I did put in several recommendations to the consultant. My only complaint with him is that he told me not to use foul language when I referred to Jeff Jones as a racist ass, because Julie, your boss, is a racist ass. Doug, one of the things that, going back to the trilogy that you had suggested earlier, I recently did put in a complaint against a police officer. And I did hear back last week on what's going to happen. But right now, I was given the option, and I'm sure that part of it was because they knew who I was. Because a lot of the police department, let's be honest, the police department knows who I am. I am called by name, even if I've never met those police officers. And there's a reason why. But I was given the option of being emailed the response and being mailed the response. However, remember with those marginalized groups, Anthony Wilroth, who is the founder of Hold Como Accountable, he, a couple of months ago, filmed an interaction with an unsheltered gentleman at the Taco Bell down by Hickman High School. And the police department harassed that unhoused gentleman who was having a mental health issue. It was caught on tape. And then the police officers called for backup in order, because Anthony was filming and they wanted another police officer to harass Anthony. Now this is on tape too. You can watch it on YouTube. It's on there. Just go to Cold Como Accountable site and you can see it. And so But my point being is that a lot of our unhoused community members, yes, they can receive mail at a shelter or at Wilkes. However, what if they get banned from those places? Because Wilkes does ban people, the shelters do ban people, and how else are they going to do it? A lot of them do have internet access, but not all of them do, because their phone might get shut off. They might not be able to get to the library. They might not be able to get to Wilkes. All valid reasons. You know, so these are the type of people who we need to make sure that they have multiple ways of being able to get make sure that their complaints are, because the police department is harassing our unhoused community, and those are the people who we really want to have their voices heard, because those are the people whose voices are not heard right now. And I would like to remind you that Julie should not be on the dais. Thank you.
Thank you. There any other comment by members of the public?
Oh, we kind of went over outreach because we didn't have a subcommittee meeting, but I would like to quickly report out Juneteenth, mainly because that happened. It was not, the actual Juneteenth event was not as heavily attended as the previous year, but we did have, I would say, almost from what I was counting, we had about 70 to 75 interactions. A lot more children. They were making little butterflies at one table and hanging them up, but everything was concentrated and it wasn't as hot this year. But I think it was really well intended, but not as heavily attended as the previous year for whatever reason. But I do think it had a really good impact. That was, I just wanted to get that out.
Oh, no, yeah, I appreciate it. I was coincidentally at the Jefferson City Juneteenth. Same thing, ours was extremely hot. We didn't have the same cloud cover you all had in Columbia.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as last year. As far as temperature-wise, it was not nearly as hot. That's all I had.
Oh, yeah, of course. Other comments by members?
Yeah, I would like to make one comment. This is, it will in the long run perhaps be pertinent to our use of force discussion later on, but it's a small matter that I think we might be able to communicate with the police department about earlier. Rose circulated the U.S. Department of Justice report on the Minneapolis Police Department. I highly recommend people read that report. It's very revealing about many things about police procedure. There's one little thing that I want to point out, which is the DOJ report says, and I'll quote this, handcuffing a person absent an objective safety risk is an unreasonable seizure and violates the Fourth Amendment. And in reading CPD policy, policy 306 includes wording that says, that handcuffing is recommended in most arrest and transportation situations. Now, on the face of it, there's a contradiction between the position that the Department of Justice is taking and the wording in the procedures, the policies and procedures of the police department. It's not perfectly simple contradiction, because if you really look at the police department policy and procedures, there's a lot of warnings about let's not overdo that handcuffing. So I don't get me wrong, but a very simple, small clarification. It would be very useful if the board understood whether the police department trains officers to say if you're going to make an arrest, if you're going to transport somebody, handcuff them, regardless of whether they present an objective safety risk. So I think we, you know, that's not everything that has to do with use of force, but it's a little thing that perhaps we can begin to get at least an answer to, so we understand a little bit better what's going on. So that's just a comment at this point, no motion, just a comment.
This isn't an actual second, but I would second. I would recommend reading that report for the same reason that you lay out there. And it's just as well, you know, the only other DOJ report, you know, is maybe a little closer home, the Ferguson report, but this one is as interesting and as varied and as helpful in thinking about solutions to fixing policing more broadly than that one even. So that's what I'll say. Comments from staff? Well, we will need to go in the closed session because we have some things to review. And so I am going to make a motion to go into closed session to discuss records which are protected from disclosure by law under section 610.021 and or subsection 14 and 590. 0.502. Do I have a second?
Second.
And is this a roll call?
It is a roll
Thank
call.
Thank you. Okay.
Brandon Barnes?
Aye.
Rhonda Carlson?
Aye.
Reese Ellis?
Aye.
Douglas Hunt?
Aye.
Stephen Jeffrey?
Aye.
Xavier Scruggs?
Aye.
Jamie Thornsberry?
Aye.
And with that, we are in closed session.